I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is good to have you guys listening on a Thursday coming off of Atlanta United's win. Yes, we win last night, 1-0. We don't win and move on in the CONCACAF Champions League. More with Brad Guzan coming up. But before we get into the Falcons, Mike, and the latest on a couple of guys that we found out are not going to return to our team, what did you think? I thought the effort and I thought the execution was certainly better. Just the fluidity of the match, it seemed like it was better than it was last Sunday.
About a 20-minute sequence where before and after, Joseph Martinez gets an amazing pass from Darlington Nagbe, and they put the ball in the net. Crowd goes bananas. And Monterey on their heels a little bit. They did park the bus, five defenders. But it's a confidence builder, some good things. Still need more shots on goal. But seeing the amazing technique, and you can see why Petey Martinez is a South American Player of the Year, as nearly bends it like Beckham on a couple of shots. But we'll be talking more about it, guys, on Friday. Big match against Philly. None of this means anything if you go back and lose your second MLS or your third MLS game of the season. But let's see if they can build off this, Carl. I thought the team, we talked to Brad Guzan, you'll hear that conversation coming up in about 20 minutes or so. A lot of good things and a lot of positives.
All right, guys, you can text us, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to get in on the conversation. And find us on social media. Like the station on Facebook if you've not already done so. 929 The Game. And follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, this radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. As far as the Falcon Report, guys, and the Falcons and where we currently are, lots of pro days going on around college football. And this is another opportunity for our football team and our front office to get a look at some of the guys that we might be interested in. Mike, you might have talked to some guys at the combine. You saw their workouts. They either impressed you more, all right, and made you even more interested, or the opposite happened.
Right.
All right. One or the other. There is no in between. But I think D. Orlando Ledbetter brought up a great point about, you know, if you think that this particular draft is so deep at defensive tackle that you can find that guy in the second or third round and still get first round quality, because that is value. If you can do that, Mike, then you go another position with that 14th overall pick.
Everybody's got their guy. Everybody thinks, you know what, we should be doing at 14. I mean, one thing, if you feel that Dan needs to go and D-led, you'll hear that conversation at 6:20, says we've got to go address corner since we moved on from Alford. And even though KZ will slide into the nickel, you're depending on Isaiah Oliver also taking a big leap, right? So the good news is, if you feel that, you know, whether you like greedy or you want to stay with the hometown kid, DeAndre Baker, who didn't really exactly impress the scouts, to be quite honest, and he has another shot with Georgia's pro day. But you might be able to trade down, too, and pick up some more stuff. Just a thought. But you can definitely get offensive line and maybe defensive line for sure, Carl. Quality. Maybe an offensive lineman starter, although with the money we invested in some big, beefier dudes, right, between what we've seen with Brown and Carpenter, that they're probably just going to maybe put off the offensive line for this draft.
Now, this hit yesterday. We were down at the Gulch. And, again, thanks to everybody who came out, said hello, hey, man, and was hanging out with us down there as we got ready from Honoree last night. And we'll be back down there hanging out throughout the course of the season for Atlanta United. But the idea of Tevin Coleman and where would he land up, and we find out yesterday he signs with the 49ers. Mike, I think the most interesting part of this is it's a two-year deal, $10 million. That's it.
I mean, I know a lot of people said, was there some way that we could keep Tevin Coleman? Thomas Dimitroff intimated, if you guys remember, at the end of the season press conference, that he thought there might be a way. Well, shoot, if we'd known the market was this soft for running backs, you might have actually been able to do it. But obviously with Matt's number, with Julio, and again, Julio may lean that money forward, too, on his new contract, which is going to be coming, who knows, I guess, anytime, any day, anytime. You could maybe have done that. no disrespect to Tevin. I'm happy for him, and hopefully he can build on that. But I wasn't prepared to give him a big contract.
No, I wasn't either, especially with the money you already have invested in Devontae Freeman. Meanwhile, Ryan Schrader, on his release from the Falcons, this is per Vaughn McClure. He's still blocking you?
Yeah, Vaughn, let me in, man. Let me in, Vaughn.
Unblock him, Vaughn.
The world's a beautiful place, Vaughn. Enjoy it.
It is. He says, the last 6 years have been nothing, been short of nothing but amazing. He says, I can't put into words what this team and city has meant to me. This is Ryan Schrader, guys. I want to personally thank Arthur Blank and Thomas Dimitroff, Pioli, Dan Quinn, Chris Morgan. He goes on. First-class organization. So Schrader's gone. And then yesterday, while Instagram was acting up and Facebook, for most of you who are on Facebook, you know this, it was kind of up and down. But a couple of statements being put out, one by Marvin Hall, Mike, he will not return. And then Andy Levitre makes it official, saying he is also not returning to our Falcons.
Yeah, we spoke with Andy at the Super Bowl at Media Row, and Andy kind of, you know, he knew his future was probably doubtful here in Atlanta. Really good guy, you know, always have that Super Bowl trip on his resume. But unfortunately, the tricep, the arm issue, just couldn't overcome it. And he might have to go sign for fish heads and rice somewhere else if he's going to stay in the NFL.
No doubt. So now today we find out that the Falcons have signed a tight end. His name's Luke Stalker.
That's a great name for a blocking tight end. Luke Stalker. Yeah, so hopefully between Luke Stalker, James Carpenter, Jamon Brown, we're going to be getting after him. We're going to be knocking guys ding-dongs in the dirt, and maybe we can move the ball. As D. Led will tell you coming up, perhaps we won't be throwing the ball on third and one.
Yeah, listen, we got bigger. I'm hoping more physical. The only way I'm going to know if we're more physical is training camp. I would love to tell you guys, yeah, because he's 6'5 and 400 pounds. Doesn't mean anything. So, Mike, I'm hoping we got more physical, and that's what Dan Quinn wanted when he signed these two guys, Jamon Brown and James Carpenter.
Well, if you want to check it out, I got the video the Falcons have already posted. If you follow the Falcons, you've seen it already. But just give you an idea of what we're getting into with Jam on It with Jamon Brown. He's got about, like Squidbilly and I added up, about 7 pancakes on each side, about 700 pounds. And he's squatting that stuff. He's getting after it. So there's a video of watching.
See that guy in the gym?
Well, he's the kind of dude that anybody would say, you go ahead, big boy. We're not going to tell you to hush. But you watch this guy slapping the iron in the gym, and all these guys have to do it, but it is kind of cool to see a guy that maybe changes the personality of our offensive line, which unfortunately has been so finesse these last few years.
Are you that guy in the gym? Put another plate on.
Don't be the screamer, though. Don't be that guy.
Put another plate on.
Now, my gym over here at LA Fitness, we have guys that sing, Carl. It's equally as aggravating.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess, listen, if you're squatting 700 pounds, you're not singing anything.
Well, right? I mean, I don't mind if you want to get after it, but, I mean, you know, can't you sing in your own mind? You really have to go, knock if you buck. I mean, you really have to do that, do you?
Okay, wait a minute. Who sounds like that? That's not how the song goes.
I'm being silly. That's like the Lounge Lizard vibe. Hey, everybody, knock if you buck. No, I'm just, nobody wants to hear you sing. You know, music, personal headphones means no singing.
Okay, man.
Back to you.
It is our Falcon Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Hey, man, how about a medium three-topping pizza? $7.99. The crust is what makes the difference, man. So tasty. Go get one of those deals, and there's a bunch of other great deals when you go to Domino's.com and carry out right now.
Seriously, though, the Luke Stalker situation with our Falcons in the tight end spot, you know, California cool, Mike. Can he have another season like he did this year? I'm hoping that Austin Hooper can. But Luke is going to help us with those short yardage situations, and I think it's a good pickup. Again, this is one of those complimentary things. You're not expecting him to catch 60 balls.
No, it would be like when Toy Lolo caught a pass. You're like, holy crap, Toy Lolo just caught a pass.
Or he could catch.
Right. But, I mean, in the case of Luke Stalker, both, as you said, both the coaches that have been added to the staff know him. You got our guy Malarkey knew him from his time in Tennessee, and obviously Dirk Cutter knows him as well. So this dude is exactly what you need. A little more physical. Nothing against his name is Robert Paulson. Remember Logan Paulson?
Logan yeah. Paulson, yeah.
So the same kind of vibe, but maybe a little bit more athletic. I like it. You can't do it overnight. Remember we joked around yesterday, Mike Smith, we're going to get tough. You can't just say you're going to get tough. You got to have some dudes.
That was Mike.
You got to have dudes that bring it. Sorry, Smitty. It's cool seeing Smitty at the Super Bowl.
It
looks like Ernest Hemingway with the beard now, yeah. Old man in the sea. But no, as far as the attitude, the personality. How many guys, man? Mark Schlereth, Mike Holmgren, you name it, man. Dan Marino, running the football sets the tone for your team. You've got to be able to run the football. We haven't been able to do that the last couple of years.
No, and that's why, you know, again, I'm clapping my hands as a Falcon fan going, okay, you guys are actually doing exactly what we need to do. That is go get a better offensive line, and specifically guards. All right? So that's good. I want to transition into some other NFL stuff, Mike. And one of them, one of the stories that's coming out is the Browns general manager coming out and basically saying, you know, the Odell Beckham talent outweighs any of the baggage that Odell Beckham comes with. And John Dorsey is a mover and shaker. And he says, I know Odell is very passionate, but I also know he's competitive, and I know he can help this football team. So, you know, here's a guy as a general manager, and this is what you have to do. Sometimes you got to take chances. Sometimes you have to take chances. I think the biggest chance, and I don't know, Thomas has never answered this question for me, and I'm talking about Thomas Dimitroff, but the biggest chance he probably ever took was the Julio deal. Because you make a deal like that, and everybody around the league's looking at you, and they're going, okay, this better work. For the Browns, they got a really good, talented young team. And, you know, you look at this deal and you go, okay, you're getting Odell Beckham. But he could also blow up your football team.
Well, I mean, it's him and Jarvis Landry. They got their boys. I mean, it really comes down to the kind of footing he gets on with Baker Mayfield. Because Baker's the guy that gets his team. Odell Beckham is – no one debates the talent. We've seen it. Some people said the worst thing that ever happened to Odell Beckham was making the one-handed catch on Monday night. Right? And creating that whole monster. But as far as Odell Beckham with Landry, these are guys, they're boys going back to LSU. You got Nick Chubb. At some point, you'll get a Kareem Hunt back. You got an athletic tight end. Man, if they can just patch up that offensive line, I mean, Cleveland's going to do some damage. It might be the Cleveland division instead of the Steelers division.
Odell tweeting today about his reputation because he knows that people are talking about this. I mean, you know, everybody talks about the trade, and that's great. So Beckham tweets out, Mike, I'm not a Cancer. I'm a Scorpion.
Ha, ha, ha. Get it? It's played with the horoscope.
Yes. Sorry for the confusion. So, listen, he's aware. He's aware. And you go there, you play hard, you catch touchdowns, Mike. Nobody's gonna care about what you do. You know, and that's what it comes down to. So, I find it interesting that the Browns general manager saying, listen, this, all this baggage stuff that he has, we're aware of that. But his talent outweighs all of that.
Yeah, Antonio Brown just had a kumbaya moment with Derek Carr. How's that going to work in 3 weeks when Derek sails the ball over his head? You know, I mean, it's all good until it's not good, Carl. And the Giants, I guess they felt. And some people are saying that Gettleman still screwed it up despite the fact they got a first, a third, and Jabril Peppers. But, I mean, you draft a guy, you develop the talent, you want to hold on to him when he's a game changer. But I guess they're feeling at some point Odell Beckham is going to become so cost prohibitive because now all wide receivers want a dollar more than the next guy every other season.
This just in, the Panthers have released veteran left tackle Matt Khalil.
They were saying the Khalil contract was going to be a little goofy. Remember that was a big discussion about what the Carolina was going to do?
Create $7.25 million in cap space, according to our buddy Joe Person there in Charlotte.
Right for the Athletic. Check him out.
But it also leaves $14 million in dead money. So Khalil, whose $7 million salary became fully guaranteed tomorrow, that's why they had to make this decision.
Right.
So, interesting.
That's a team which has a lot of question marks, including guys no one really knows. I haven't seen anything where Cam Newton's throwing a football, right? I mean, not to make it into like what the Andrew Luck thing was 2 years back, but it's very interesting to see how they evolve. They've also said that despite all the things they said about Christian McCaffrey being able to be a workhorse, they've got to go get a complimentary piece as well for him.
Mm. There are a bunch of free agents out there, guys. We talked about this as part of our NFL Blitz segment earlier today. There are a bunch of names that you're familiar with, whether it's Ha Ha Clinton Dix, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, Ndamukong Suh, Ronald Darby. All these guys are still out there. Muhammad Wilkerson. They're all still out there. So, you know, there's a bunch of guys, probably about, I don't know, 40 players remain available as of this morning,
right,
that can make an impact on somebody's football team. But these are the things that you're going to continue to see as teams make decisions on guys like Matt Khalil, you know, who's a veteran left tackle, but okay, I'm not willing to pay him the $7 million.
Well, you know, as we bring it back to the Falcons, we're again brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Go to Domino's.com for the great deal on the medium 3-topping pizza for $7.99. You know, I got to be honest, I feel pretty good about the Falcons. I know these guys are not Pro Bowl caliber, but these guys are physical. You know, between Jamon Brown, James Carpenter, the resumes are there. We just got a little more size. We got some attitude. I still don't trust Sombrello at right tackle, but well, they obviously do. But Carl, if you combine that with a guy and a Luke Stocker, you're changing the attitude about how you approach your offensive side of the game. We got all the skill position guys. We got an MVP caliber quarterback. I like this move, man. Plus, you're putting two big beefy guys to help Alex Mack at this stage of his career.
Matt Ryan's is best when he's not getting pressure up the middle. Matt's like any other quarterback. I say this all the time. You want to affect a quarterback, get him up the middle. Matt's just as good as anybody stepping up, Mike, into the pocket and delivering the football. But when you have pressure coming up the middle, he's not an escape guy. He's not You know, I'm going to run out outside the pocket and make plays, which obviously makes Aaron Rodgers and other guys around the league so different. You know, whether it's Russell Wilson, that's not Matt. So if you protect that area, which is what we're trying to do, and it's where we lacked a few years ago, our guard play prior to Alex Mack was terrible.
Mm.
And then the year Mack comes in, we also get Chester, and we see how that plays out. So these are two important pieces to our football team moving forward.
And Squidbilly in my ear telling me the Falcons have just signed Kenyon Barner. Okay. Kenyon's been around. He was a six-rounder back in 13 out of Oregon, and he's bounced around Carolina, Eagles, Chargers, back to the Eagles, back to Carolina, Patriots,
kick
back
returner.
To Carolina.
Kick returner.
Yeah, he's a special teams guy, but right now you have to earn a spot on the roster, but they pick up Kenyon Barner.
And Dave Davis, who follows us on Twitter, says, ha-ha, Clinton Dix is signing a one-year deal with the Bears, apparently. So, all right, and there you go. I mean, slowly but surely, you're going to see guys come off the market.
And again, Matt Ryan did it. Also, Khalil Mack, he moved his money up forward, took it up front to clear some cap space for Chicago.
Hey, man, here Brad Guzan coming up as part of our Strong Arm story here on Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk about some of the headlines and things you might have missed at 6 o'clock. Top three at 6. D. Orlando Ledbetter's on the way. He was at Clemson's Pro Day today looking at all those potential D linemen. There was one guy that did not work out and one guy the Falcons have not talked to. Find out who that is coming up about an hour from now.
Yeah, it's funny, by the way. Appreciate our Johnny on the Spot listeners who reminded us that Kenyon Barner was playing for Carolina and got run over by Matt Bosher. That was the best hit of the year on defense or special teams of the Falcons this year.
Yeah, I think it was Joe Jalisa who sent that to us, and she was like, don't you guys remember? Yeah, because it became a meme.
Yeah, so anyway, he's now in the fold with the Falcons, perhaps as a kick return guy, and now Matt can say, hey, remember me? I whooped your butt on television. But, hey, before we get to talking to Brad Guzan, and we've talked a lot about the Falcons, if you missed the Falcon Report, they picked up a tight end named Luke Stocker, who's familiar with the OC in Dirk Cutter. But here's a high school story, Carl, and this is interesting because this guy is nationally known, the former Hoover head coach down at Colquitt. He's won championships and considered the best high school team in the country. Rush Probst, according to WALB-TV's Emily Forrester, has been let go by Colquitt County. He was suspended just a few weeks back for personal issues by the superintendent down there. But apparently, Rush Probst to Colquitt County out as the head coach of one of the powerhouses in the Southeast.
What happened, y'all? What happened?
Well, it's a personal issue, Carl. I am not at liberty, nor is apparently he to discuss.
He's a very good coach. Great, great winning history and tradition. You're right. That's interesting. Hey, man, we had a chance to catch up with Brad Guzan. Atlanta United, all right, we win the match against Monterey last night. 1-0, but we do not advance. It was aggregate score, guys.
But some positive to take from it.
Absolutely. And the first thing we asked Brad was, how did you feel about the performance?
Not only was our play better in terms of just better on the ball, our movement was better, but also our spirit and the belief of going forward and attacking. And ultimately, when you combine those things with the quality that we have, you're going to get chances. And, you know, I think obviously the result was good. It was disappointing to, of course, not go through, via the home and away series. But the result was good. And I think, Joseph's chance in the first half, if that goes in, I think it's a different game. And I think it certainly has a different feel to it. So, but overall, it was much better from our point of view. So going forward, that's something that we need to build on and make sure we continue to improve upon.
You've been in this situation in your career where, you know, the team's not playing as well as you would like. Obviously, some of the star power is not clicking the way you would like and the chemistry's not there. You know, when you've been in this situation in the past, what's it take to get it right?
It takes everyone. It takes everyone from top to bottom. It takes everyone pulling in the same direction. And it's easy to say. It's obviously harder to do. And it could seem simple. It can seem that it's, oh, yeah, listen, we all, you know, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. One little thing can throw somebody off. And if somebody's thrown off for this reason, I can throw somebody else off for another reason. And so it takes everybody in the group, like I said, from top to bottom, making sure that you're doing all the little things, be it, you know, making sure you're making the right decision with the ball at your feet, having a good first touch, and ultimately making sure that you battle and fight through. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans, and guys are going to make mistakes, but it's how you respond to those mistakes, and it's what else can you control? And you can always control your energy. You can control your effort. You can control your desire and your fight and your willing to win and push the guy next to you and help the guy next to you. So those are things that you can always control. And we have to make sure when everything else isn't going our way, that we make sure that we do the little things in a positive manner.
Clean sheet for our man, Brad Guzan, who joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. As we said, I mean, I know moral victories, it sounds a little trite, but it seems like certainly, as you said, things we can build on, things going in the right direction, just trying to create more shots. I mean, the CONCACAF process, and I know we got to get used to it. Parkhurst told us a few weeks ago, we're never going to get the calls. Is there any way, man, as a competitor, you'd like to see this thing maybe tightened up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can always wish, right? But the reality is that it is what it is. And as players, as a team, as a club, we end up just having to deal with it. You hope that there's people on the other side that are looking at it and saying, how can we improve, be it the officiating, how can we improve the logistics of scheduling, how can we improve the overall tournament to make sure that it's that it brings a competitive feel to it when it's game day. And so that's not for us to worry about. Like I said, it is what it is, especially when it comes to the officiating and the refereeing. And we just got to roll our sleeves up and get on with it.
I was sitting behind you last night, so I couldn't hear. I could barely hear what Parkhurst was saying. Could you hear when he got that yellow? I think he was speaking for 40,000 fans last night.
I thought he was just saying hello to the linesman.
Yeah. I said to him this morning, when's the last time he's gotten a yellow? Seriously. Right. I can't remember.
No, it's not often that he flips the switch and goes a bit crazy. So, I think it's moments like that, you know, ultimately it shows how much not only, you know, last night meant to us in terms of the result and putting together a performance that we could be proud of, but ultimately how much we want to get this thing right as well. Every time we step on the field, we want to be able to represent our fan base and ultimately the city of Atlanta in a good way. And the quicker we can get back to that, the better it's going to be for everybody.
It is Brad Guzan, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. Last night, again, we do get a result, 1-0, but not enough to advance in CONCACAF. What about Sunday, man? And, you know, last Sunday, for a lot of fans, and I came in Monday and was a little disappointed in our performance. I know you guys were. Back to MLS play. How do we get back on track against Philly?
Yeah, it starts exactly the same way it did for us last night. We got to make sure that we bring all the little things to the game. And first and foremost, like I said, we've got to have that. Because if you don't have that, you already start behind the eight ball. So come Sunday against Philadelphia, our energy's got to be there, our intensity. And like I said, you know, we've got quality. We've got some of the best players in the league. And so we've got to make sure we're getting the ball to these guys to let them do their thing and go and create and ultimately enjoy the moment, enjoy the game. And I think when guys are playing with a smile on their face, that's when you start to see the best come out of them.
It is Brad Guzan, our goalkeeper for Atlanta United, a 1-0 win over Monterey last night, but bounced out of CCL competition. Philly coming up on Sunday. How about Miles Robinson from where we were sitting, man? The guy just gets better and better each game.
For sure, for sure. I mean, his biggest attribute, of course, is his athleticism and his size and his strength. But I thought yesterday he was very good on the ball when it came to passing and making sure he was available for parking Jeff on either side, even myself at times. And I think that part is in his game has really improved. Like I said, we know how athletic he is. We know how strong he is, how quick he is. But in terms of just being on the ball, I think you're starting to see a different type of comfort level for him, which is, as a teammate, fantastic to see.
I want to ask you about Frank DeBoer and, you know, the meeting. It's public now. He said he met with you guys, and, you know, obviously you don't have the kind of time that you need to maybe implement some of the things that he wants to do. Saying possessions are not enough. We got to, you know, get some shots on goal. And he talked about that. But in that meeting, was it a free-for-all? I mean, were guys just able to stand up, speak their mind, or were there specific things?
No, it certainly was. You know, it went both ways. It wasn't just a talking to from manager to players. You know, as players, we spoke up and shared our thoughts and opinions. Because, like I said, at the beginning of this interview right now, right, 5 minutes ago, I said it takes everybody when you're going through some tough times and things aren't necessarily clicking your way. It takes everybody. And I think when you go into something like that, a meeting like that, and you have an open mind from both, from the players and obviously from the coaching staff, only positive ideas are going to come out of that. And so it wasn't a shouting, yelling match. It was a very good conversation amongst players and coaches. So going forward, like I said, you certainly, I'm sure from the outside, you could probably see a bit of a difference from last night.
Brad Guzan with us, guys, from Atlanta United. You know, Brad, now you're big time when you got people calling up on a Monday screaming and crying about Atlanta United. You know, getting the same reaction we get for Falcons, Braves, and Hawks now. So you guys are definitely big time. One thing I thought last night, just one more pass. You know, we're just one pass away. And to your point, that's going to come from just more continuity and more practice and learning the system.
No, exactly. And I think I would agree with that. I thought, you know, at times, especially, I mean, our final pass, our final ball, whether it was a yard too far in front or a yard behind, it just seemed to not be there. And ultimately, then you saw it for the beautiful goal that Darlington gives, a fantastic pass to Joseph. Great first touch, and he smashes it in the top corner. So, we know those moments are there. It's now just about trying to find them on a consistent basis and create those exciting moments for the fans. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, it's nice to do it once or twice, but for us, especially after the last 2 years, we've been used to creating those chances 6, 7, 8 times, if not more. So we certainly want to get back to that as a team and as a group. When we have those moments, like I've always said, that gives me the best seat in the house, and I think creates an excitement level for everyone that is very difficult to match.
All right, man, go get in the cold tub. What's the practice schedule? What's the training schedule like now with this compressed schedule? You guys get a day off or so?
No, we were back in today. It was ring day. I'm sure you saw some of the guys.
Yeah.
It was ring day today at the training ground, so that was good. So it was nice to have the result we did, and then cap it off with today. It's business as usual. Make sure we take care of business on Sunday, and then there'll be a few off days after that. But we've got a big one on Sunday. We know Sunday is extremely important.
Right. Well, we'll do our part. We'll be screaming and yelling, man. Hey, have a good game, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it as always, guys.
Carl, the ring is tight, man. You know Arthur Blank was not going to skimp. The A with MLS Cup champs on the front. On the side, you got a view of the Atlanta skyline. Concord looks really cool. Got the score inside of us beating the Portland Timbers. You knew Arthur Blank was going to come with some serious hardware.
I want one. Hey, coming up, Mike Conte, in case you missed it. Top three is on the way as well. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call now. Yeah. Caller number 9 wins tickets to Travis Scott at State Farm Arena on Friday, March 22nd. 404-741-0929. Caller number 9 wins now. From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
3 at 6 is on the way, guys. And this version of In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte is brought to you by our friends at Rooms to Go.
Local TV news in Cleveland, Ohio. 11 o'clock news last night. Here's the lead story. Hold on. I mean, start over. Local news last night in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't have the button.
That's all right.
On. Sorry, guys. Local TV news in Cleveland, Ohio last night, 11 o'clock news. Here's the lead story.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling because there's someone up in front of our house. We just drove home, and he's yelling and screaming and, like, flailing his arms.
A frantic 911 call to Shaker Heights Police Tuesday night.
And I don't want to get my kids out of the car yet. Because I don't know what's going on.
First, I thought it was a woman because it was very high-pitched.
Carita Jackson lives on Winslow Road.
And then I saw this man running down the street just flailing his arms. And I was like, oh, my God. So I put my kids back in the car, of course. And so I was called the police.
Yeah, called 911.
But why was he flailing his arms, Mike?
Suspicious person running down the street screaming, flailing his arms like a maniac. Is he robbing a house? Is he tripping on some kind of drug? No, it's a kid who's excited because the Browns signed Odell Beckham. So I'm not joking. The police come out, and they're trying to calm this kid down. Like, literally, they think he's on some kind of drug. And he eventually tells the cops, no, it's cool. I'm just really, really excited that the Browns signed Odell Beckham Jr. Cops let him go.
Nice.
But apparently, that woman was very, very concerned. Concerned enough to lock her kids in the car and call 911 until Shaker Heights police could arrive.
Wow. You know, I'd about you as a kid growing up in Pennsylvania, Carl, or you growing up in Texas, was there ever a time when your team did something? Because I remember we were in Las Vegas. Drunk Larry, my buddy and I, we were in Vegas when the word came down that the Falcons were going to trade up and get Mike Vick.
Yeah.
And everybody, I mean, we literally, Drunk Larry, we ordered shots for the bar. We went bananas going, just like little kids going nuts.
When the Flyers got Lindros.
Right.
When the Flyers got Lindros. And there was controversy over that because the Flyers traded for Lindros and so did the Rangers.
Right.
And the Nordiques said, no, we're taking back that trade. We're giving it to the Rangers. And there was no commissioner of the National Hockey League at that time, right. So they had to hire an arbitrator. But I remember when the arbitrator ruled that the Flyers got Lindros. I would have done what that kid did.
Number 88.
Running down the street like a maniac.
I love it. Listen.
Getting the cops called on me.
This is what free agency does if you sign a guy like this. It gets your fan base excited. There is an enthusiasm that happens. And the Browns haven't been here forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember how they acted when they drafted Johnny Manziel a few years ago? We saw the draft pictures right. And they're going crazy. Yeah, we got our guy!
Johnny Football.
Okay, he's out of the league.
Right.
And now you see what they're doing in free agency, and people are losing their minds because of the idea that if this works, Mike, you could arguably have – we got a good offense, and right. I think we do. This could be something special. Nick Chubb? Jarvis Landry?
Big tight end. I mean, they got it all now, man. Just
all
tighten up that offensive
this.
Line.
Yeah. All I'll say is this. A lot of people making bold proclamations about the Cleveland Browns. I would, and, Carl, no disrespect to you. But I would love for these people to put their money where their mouth is.
Oh, nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that.
It's still the Browns. Browns.
Still the Browns.
It's still
now,
the Browns.
I did make some money last year on the over with the over-under win total.
That's different. You know? That's like, put your money where your mouth is about the Browns winning the Super Bowl.
Well, that's crazy. You know,
well, I'm just saying, a lot of national people. Oh, they're going to go all the way now for sure with Baker Mayfield.
That
okay.
is crazy. Browns are rolling.
That guy's one of them. Put your money where your mouth is.
It
it's legal
no
now.
No longer the Steelers division. I am out.
Yeah, right. Okay, last night at the Hawks game. Hawks, by the way, I know you guys have been talking about it. You know, Memphis was number one in the league in scoring defense. Hawks scored 132 points against the Nuggets, and that was the most they've given up all year.
They made it look easy.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the Hawks are rolling right now. There was a moment during the game that they did one of those scoreboard marriage proposals.
Right.
But it's weird. It was two Grizzlies fans that did it at center court. This is a very interesting tone on which to start an engagement from a romantic standpoint. Listen to how this guy proposed to his now fiance.
Will you grit and grind with me forever and ever, babe?
Is that a yes?
I said yes.
Guys!
Will you what?
Will you... You couldn't understand him? Let me play it again. I'm surprised you couldn't understand him.
Will you grit and grind with me forever and ever, babe?
Will you grit and grind
with
me forever and ever?
Okay.
Okay.
Grit and grind.
I thought it was grin and grind.
I couldn't tell either.
Grin and grind.
Grit and grind.
It was grits and grind.
Grit and grind is the Grizzlies slogan. It's like... In Philadelphia, they have trust the process.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. Listen, scoreboard marriage proposal. I hope these guys have a long and happy marriage. I was advised very early in my relationship with my now wife to never even think about doing that, which I wouldn't anyway.
Right.
Thinking an engagement, you know, there are ways to do it. I would not do it that way. But, boy, that's a big sports fan. To incorporate your favorite team's slogan into a marriage proposal.
And a bad basketball team.
At the moment, yes.
Historically.
At the moment, yes.
Yes
at
are.
The moment, yes.
Yeah,
they are.
They're like, Mike, Angie, you know, I love you more than Tom Seaver. Let's go Mets and let's get married.
By the way, real quick, we're watching the Players' Championship. Did you see the latest name to be caught up in this college admission scandal?
No.
Who's that?
Wouldn't you know it? I'm shocked. Phil Mickelson's name has come
up
now.
Is
his
really?
Kids? It's shocking that his name would be associated with any kind of shadiness. He reportedly was involved with one of the guys, but he is not facing charges.
Oh.
His kids are not involved in this specific situation, But he reportedly was an associate of one of the guys that ran one of these admissions counseling firms or whatever it's called.
Because as Ned Flanders said when he thought he was dead, wow, heaven's easier to get into than Arizona State. I wouldn't think Phil would ever need any trouble getting any of his kids into Tempe.
No disrespect to Arizona State. We've all worked with someone who went to Arizona State.
Yes, we did.
No disrespect to Arizona State, but I'm going to imagine the people that are paying admissions counselors are probably trying to get their kids into, Ivy League schools.
Maybe a little higher, you say. Yes.
You know, the Seven Sisters colleges or something like that. Right. I mean, Arizona State, I don't know.
So Phil knows one of these dudes. Shocking.
Shocking, right? it's amazing. Anytime there's like a Ponzi scheme or something like that, Phil Mickelson's name is on the periphery of it. It really is amazing.
All right, man. Mike Conte, in case you missed it, brought to you by our friends at
Rooms to Go.
All right, guys. Top three at 6 on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.